Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
This is The Rich Eisen Show. I made a name for myself. I told you I won't be denied. Live from The Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
We just got the Roku channel its first ever Sports Emmy nomination for Best Studio Show Day.
The Rich Eisen Show.
Don't sound surprised.
I appreciate that. Act like you've been there before, which we have.
Let's take one home this year.
Earlier on the show, host of ESPN's First Take, Stephen A. Smith, NFL veteran and quarterback coach John Beck. Coming up, legendary comedian and author Stephen Wright. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
What a fun conversation we just had with John Beck, the quarterback instructor, throwing coach, throwing guru, whatever you want to say. And he, you know, he's got Bryce Young and CJ Stroud as his part of his client group, and Zach Wilson was part of his client group before the draft, and Justin Herbert part of his client group. Just talking ball and talking draft and talking quarterbacks and talking this year's draft and these year's quarterbacks in particular with John Beck was amazing. If you missed that conversation, so many different ways to cover it. There's this right here on this feed through the Roku channel. We're live streaming right now on channel 210 on the Roku channel, which is free on all Roku devices, select Samsung smart TVs, Amazon Fire TV, also free on the Roku app because the Roku channel's free within it, and the RokuChannel.com. Channel 210, as soon as we're done, we re-air. There's our podcast version of this show. I think we kind of just did like an hour-long podcast
really
with John
did.
Beck.
Kind of old school. That was awesome. That was hardcore deep ball talk.
That's what this is about, right? We're in that time of year.
Loved it. That was awesome.
I was in this time of year. The draft is in is 15 days from now.
This is when I get excited. Brockman knows I hate mock draft talks in first week of February. Just like, what's the point? Now is when I want that.
2 weeks out.
So there's a podcast version of the show all 3 hours every single day through the Cumulus Podcast Network where all your podcasts can be acquired. And then there's also our Twitter feed, our YouTube feed, and that in particular is what you need to stay tuned to for the Rich Eisen Show Twitter feed and YouTube feed, because what we just did with John Beck essentially was the first edition of our new segment called From the Combine to the Draft, sponsored by Noble, which is a training brand for people who work hard, don't believe in excuses. Noble's performance footwear, apparel, and accessories are worn by some of the fittest athletes on earth and is now the official combine training partner of the NFL and the official on-field supplier of apparel and headwear for the NFL Scouting Combine. Go to NobleProject.com/NFL to see how Noble forever changed the NFL Combine and to shop football training essentials and more gear for your day-to-day workouts. Again, we're going to be talking about profiles and player journeys from the Combine to the draft all the way up until next Thursday, or two Thursdays from now, when the draft goes down in Kansas City. So check out our Twitter feed at Rich Eisen Show, youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show, From the Combine to the Draft, sponsored by Noble. We just did that with John Beck, who, look, I mean, when you have the top two quarterback prospects available in the draft, he said that teams are asking him, like, what do you, if you were the general manager, what would you do? He's like, get out of here. Like
you're, yeah, you're, you know.
You're right. All right, so you have your two children, you know. If you're the father,
who's your favorite?
You know, like, honestly.
But don't parents secretly really always have a favorite?
No, stop it. Now you sound like my kids.
Come on.
We know Taylor's your favorite.
Yeah, Rich, we all know that. No offense to the boys.
No, Zan will look at me sometimes and go, when it's just the two of us, he'll look at me and goes, I'm your favorite, right? Literally, my oldest will do that. And Coop is just like, see ball, hit ball. He's just like, I don't know. That's what he is. But at any rate, I mean, I don't know.
So you're saying Taylor's your favorite. We get it. Let's move on.
Stop it. Wow. You just look at CJ Stroud and everybody else that Frank Reich has coached. That's the guy. I mean, that's who it looks like to me. But you're saying now all of a sudden Bryce Young strolls on there and hangs out in Charlotte for a couple of days, and now everybody, the betting favorite, if you will, is Bryce Young.
All I'm saying
that's crazy talk.
Vegas knows things. So after the Panthers trade, suddenly Bryce Young was the favorite. Now it's Stroud. Now we're 2 weeks out.
Yeah.
Young is visiting the Panthers. Young, now the favorite.
Great chat again with our new friend, John Beck, right here on the Rich Eisen Show in studio. Stephen Wright is in our green room, the comedian from back in the day. He's got a new book out right here. I've got it. It's called Harold. It's his new novel right here. There's Stephen Wright, the author, and you know, one of the all-time great comedians.
Much like Stephen Wright, I too like to reminisce with people I don't know. So this is going to be fun.
I Have a Pony is one of the most famous comedy albums ever. You know, and he had quite the run with HBO specials and whatnot. Yep. Stephen Wright will be here shortly. I'll ask him his favorite joke. Maybe we'll stroll down memory lane about being on the Carson Show. I love talking to comedians about this sort of thing. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. Shane Steichen just spoke from the Indianapolis Colts talking about, was asked about Lamar Jackson, and he responded saying he's focused on the draft and focused on the players that are in the building right now.
Right now. Ah, it's such a key phrase.
Talking about where the players in the building. No, he's saying right now. He didn't right now the situation. He's just talking. I'm just talking about.
All right,
as you know, there's coaching cliches. It is what it is. I don't have a crystal ball, and you know, I'm only talking about the players who are here. Which you usually do that when somebody's holding out, but nobody's talking Lamar Jackson right now. Nope. Anywhere. Period. They are now 15 days from the draft, and nobody is signing this guy to an offer sheet right now. They'll go through the draft and see. And plus, why are you signing him to an offer sheet right now when they just acquired Odell Beckham Jr.?
Who's getting introduced tomorrow.
My colleague Ian Rappaport at the NFL Network said he signed with the belief that Lamar is coming back. And if you didn't sign Lamar to an offer sheet before, even if you were inclined to cough up two first-round draft choices and two next two drafts, even if you were inclined to pay him the freight that he's apparently asking for, the other narrative as to why teams didn't sign him was the Ravens are just going to match anyway. Why would you do the work? Well, now the belief, I would think, that the Ravens are going to match anyway is as strong as ever. They just got Odell. What do you think? They're just going to let Lamar walk?
Nope.
So nothing's going to happen on that front. And you could ask Shane Steichen until he's blue in the face, and he'll basically just say, we're just focused on who we have here and what we're just focused on the draft because they're fourth overall. And if Adam Schefter, what he threw out there, does in fact happen that the Texans do choose somebody second overall who isn't a quarterback, hold on to the pick and choose somebody who's not a quarterback, well, then Anthony Richardson is flat out in play, or C.J. Stroud or Bryce Young is flat out in play fourth overall. That would be the Colts' dream that they have one of those two to choose from the current spot. Doesn't cost them any more draft capital to move up. Yeah, no one's signing Lamar to an offer sheet between now and the draft. We'll talk after the draft, but Odell's signing changes the dynamic. And that's what I said before. I thought it was brilliant. And I know that the Ravens have been ripped by a ton of people for how expensive the contract was and for to give it to somebody who hasn't performed over a year, coming off of a knee injury, looking, you know, at how old he is and how, what a dreadful contract that was, according to many who definitely know football and know contracts and know salary caps. I push back by saying, if this gets Lamar to sign, if this solves the Rubik's Cube that Lamar and the Ravens have not been able to solve over the last 2 years, even if he does sign his tender. Just 2 weeks ago or a week ago, the concept was never know what Lamar's thinking. If he's a man on principle, he'll just hold out on you. He won't come in from the cold. Well, now Odell's the one who's saying, come back. I'm here. And at the very least, don't disappoint my little boy. Who looks so beautiful in his Ravens 8 jersey.
Like, how can you turn him down?
How could you disappoint Odell's little baby?
Can't.
Baby.
Come on.
Odell's like a red roof end. We'll leave the light on for
you. Yeah.
Motel 6.
Come home.
Oh, Motel 6.
Whatever.
Is that what it is? Whatever. Whichever one it is.
Bottom line is,
I've never been to either
the
one.
Signing of Odell Beckham Jr., it works on many levels. It works on the level of communicating to Lamar, we get you. And it communicates to Lamar in a manner that doesn't require the coach, general manager, or owner be the same voice in the room that hasn't worked. And also to the entire community of the NFL receiving corps. We're not the Bermuda Triangle of receivers. Works on every level.
So, even an Odell could be problematic.
Right, with the running game and with the defense. Now then, Chris, we will, before turning to Stephen Wright, turn to you. Hey. Just when you thought the Heat were coming to visit, the Miami Heat still have another basketball game to play, and it's the Atlanta Hawks that will be visiting Boston, Massachusetts this weekend to start a first-round playoff series.
It was a pleasant surprise last night.
And why is this a pleasant surprise for you?
Because this is going to be a sweep.
Okay. Okay.
Well, they're not a good defensive team.
You know, huh?
Trae Young's one of the worst defensive guards in the league. And so, you know, we have the bigs, we have the wings. We have too much firepower on offense for them to stop us, so I mean, I would expect this to be a 4 or 5-game series. In all honesty, I'm not being disrespectful.
I hear you.
It was 3-0 in the regular season with these teams.
The regular season with this team, I would throw right the hell out.
With the Celtics or the Hawks?
The Hawks.
And why would you say that?
Because they're a different team now. They have a different coach, maybe a different mentality,
That's
a different
true.
Sense in the locker room, a different sense of cohesion. Honestly. I mean,
fair points.
Trae Young, DeJounte Murray, Clint Capella with his unique stat line of 4 points, 21 rebounds.
That was ridiculous.
And
Clint Rodman last
John
night.
Collins. Yeah, Clint Rodman. And John Collins.
They were really impressive
and
last night, actually. Every time you thought Miami was
Hunter
back in the game, going to take control and maybe cruise to a home win, Murray hit a big shot. Capella had a nice defensive play. Trae Young got to the rim. John Collins was out there doing his thing. It was an impressive victory last night, and now they have to play a real team.
It's why I didn't want to zig with the rest. I wanted to zag. I didn't want to choose the Bucks coming out of the East. I didn't want to choose the Celtics or the Sixers coming out of the East. And I was identifying somebody who could make a run that would shock everybody. And that's the narrative going into the Eastern Conference playoffs right now, is there's no, like, good luck. Hey, Cleveland and New York, Cavs and Knicks, have a great 4-5 series. Entertain us. Go 7. You know, let's have Mitchell drop 50 in one and Brunson drop 50 in another. And let's see if Julius Randle can drop 50. Who's going to drop 50 the most? You know, like, let's go. Let's have a good – but you guys enjoy rearranging your deck chair, because you're going to hit the iceberg of the top 3 seeds in the Eastern Conference playoffs. That's the narrative coming in. I chose the Hawks to win the conference before the season just because I'm a big Murray fan, him being an addition to a very talented team.
They're just 2 years away from going to the conference finals.
I thought that we could see Trae Young in a playoff series just take it over. And I'm pleased to see the Hawks are in. But they're, you know, they're going up against the defending conference champs, who are defending conference champs for a reason. I understand that, but I would throw out the regular. That's a very long-winded way of saying I'd throw out the regular season numbers.
Plus, we don't know if the cut hand on Jaylen Brown, you don't know where that cut was it on the outside of his hand, was it on his palm? That can affect his dribbling and shooting.
He had a pretty big wrap on at the end of the year, so we'll see.
So did Rudy Gobert.
All right. The Timberwolves did that to themselves. They should have waited till next season to suspend him. Why are you going to suspend him now? I mean, hurt your team not having him on the court.
How did Anthony Edwards go 3-for-17?
That was the biggest one. Yeah. I mean, just an absolute no-show in the biggest game of the year when a guy who's like on the precipice of launching himself into superstar.
But wasn't he hurt? Isn't his elbow messed up?
He did take a weird fall last night and kind of landed on his shoulder.
That was almost really, really,
really
bad.
They were up 15. It was 80-65.
Prince is dropping threes. Conley.
Like, come on.
I thought to myself, okay, so Conley's acquisition, that's going to be the one that...
That was the one.
That's going to be a big difference maker.
And maybe the
that
Lakers,
nobody was talking about.
Maybe the Lakers should have got him instead of
D'Angelo Russell no-showed last night, too.
Awful last night. Was he 0-9?
If the Timberwolves just could have kept their head... Don't get into a fight in the huddle. Don't punch a wall. They win that game by 15 points last night. I mean,
easily.
Come on. Like, you were right there, and you blew it. And they still should have won the game.
Timberwolves-Nuggets would be a fascinating first-round series. Because, even if the Pelicans advance tonight, we don't believe Zion is going to feel like Zion.
Doesn't seem like Zion's playing this year.
How about that soundbite?
Pretty good.
Let me ask you this question. Can we play that one more time, if you don't mind, Mr. Hoskins, please? Because, man, I want to see him out there.
Everybody wants to see him out there.
He's a 26-8 guy when healthy.
I just want to see him out there. And Stephen A. Smith said earlier about the soundbite you're about to hear, people aren't thinking he's jaking it. They think he's not working hard enough to avoid it. That he's back here in this situation again, you'd think he'd be on some sort of, is there a TB12 system for the NBA?
Yeah, whatever James Harden was on this offseason. Because you said he should
get rid of the TB12 system.
Led the league in assists.
There we go.
You know, quiet is kept.
Yeah, get rid of the honey buns.
Get rid of the honey buns. And,
but here, hit it.
How close are you to feeling like you'll be ready to play?
Physically I'm fine. Now it's just a matter of when I feel like Zion. I know the atmosphere I'd be entering based off the playoff experience. So now it's just a matter of when I feel like Zion.
How frustrating was the setback going back at February to everything that you're kind of dealing with right now?
I mean, it sucks. I don't know how else to say it. It just sucks. I love this game. I say it over and over. For those people that think that I just want to sit on the sideline just to sit over there, I don't know why people think that. But, it sucks. I just want to be playing basketball, for real.
I'll just say this once again, and I'll front my comments that are going to sound critical with the fact that I'd love to see him out there. Could you imagine him, Ingram, McCollum, Valanciunas, Murphy,
that's the squad.
Jones.
Yep.
Just off the top of my head here.
Top three team in the West.
And Zion. You throw Zion in that mix. Okay? They're not playing in. They're not hosting the second night play-in game, right?
No, they're hosting in the first round.
Right. That's the idea.
Yeah.
Right?
Let's not forget Alvarado.
So I'd love to see him out there. 14. It's just he's just such a dynamic player when healthy. And I know that the NBA just had their collective bargaining agreement hammered out. I just would see, can you open it up again to make a rule that if you miss a certain amount of games, you're not allowed to refer to yourself in the third person? Right, that you must refrain from that. Or I wouldn't say you take somebody's, you lose draft choice, but maybe fine.
Revoke some privileges.
Is that right? Like you can find
that might be a little harsh.
Like you can't miss as many games as Zion had and then refer to why you've missed it and when you're coming back using the third person. That's a violation, I think.
Does that rule extend to Del Tufo, who missed your third person? If you've missed a certain amount of days of work, you got to revoke.
By the way,
that's true.
Like I'm going to set up the USFL the next couple of days.
Okay, good.
How many shows are you going to miss? Two, but when I'm back,
Monday.
Yeah.
He's managing the load of his work. Yeah, your work, it's workload
it's
management.
Workload, exactly.
So,
when
so
I'm
what
Mike,
I'm
I'll be back.
No, so I so I guess my point would be
that's what I'm saying.
My point would be that if he's if his workload management extends way longer than expected,
right.
He can't refer to himself in the third person.
Can't do it.
Okay. So what we're going to do is we're going to lead by example here.
Can't use third person.
To show the NBA what it needs to do
Mike,
with some
banned.
Of its star
no
players.
Third no, more third right. no more third person.
Very good. No, I mean, it depends on how many shows you miss.
That's well, okay. See, the thing is, Rich, unlike Del Tuvo, who has a very more than adequate fill-in and feller,
yeah.
You can't replace Zion.
Yeah.
They don't have anybody
that's
true.
Point
to
too.
Pick
no,
up
that's
his load.
That's true. That's true.
Counterpoint.
You're unfortunately not the Zion of this equation.
I'm the Jordan, but I mean that's.
Oh my goodness! All right, let's take a break. Stephen Wright is here on the Rich Eisen Show, and we come back a legend in the studio. Let's talk O'Reilly Auto Parts, people, or as you might know from their jingle, O'Reilly Auto Parts. They're in the business of keeping your car on the road. O'Reilly Auto Parts offers friendly, helpful service and the parts knowledge you need for all your maintenance and repairs. Because you know when you need your car fixed, you need somebody who knows what they're talking about and is helpful, has a smile on their face, and gets you back on the road. They've got thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. The team at O'Reilly Auto Parts can test your battery for free in or out of your car. If it needs to be replaced, they'll help you just find the right battery for your vehicle. Need your windshield wipers replaced, a brake light fix, or a quick service? They'll help you find the right part or point you to the nearest local repair shop for help. Whether you're a car aficionado or an auto novice, you will find the employees at O'Reilly Auto Parts knowledgeable, helpful, and the best of all, friendly. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit us at OReillyAuto.com/Eisen. That's OReillyAuto.com/Eisen. It's that time of year, people. Spring has sprung, and that means spring cleaning, or at least the partner in your life is demanding that you do it. Whether that means stocking up on cleaning supplies or swapping out your winter clothes for new spring clothes, make sure you're using Ibotta and get real cash back with every purchase. Ibotta is a free app that gives you the most cash back every time you shop on hundreds of items from groceries to beauty supplies to toys. The average Ibotta user earns $256 per year. That could cover the cost of an entire shopping trip, that flight you've been eyeing, or the fancy dinner you've been craving. Join the over 50 million users and earn cash back every time you shop from over 2,700 brands and retailers. And right now, Ibotta is offering our listeners $5 for just trying Ibotta by using the code Eisen when you register. Just go to the App Store or Google Play Store and download the free Ibotta app to start earning cash back and use my code EISEN. That's IBOTTA in the Google Play or App Store and use my code Eisen. Welcome back to the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network. Joining our Rich Eisen Show Roku Channel live feed, I'm sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk, furnished by Grainger. With supplies and solutions for every industry, Grainger is the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. And look who has stopped by, one of my favorites. For a long time, I've been a fan of this man who's got his first book out, a novel. I'm holding it up here just to prove it exists. Harold, by the great Stephen Wright here in the Rich Eisen Show studio. How are you, Stephen? Good to
I'm
see
good,
you.
I'm good, Rich. How are you?
I am doing very, very well.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for being here. So I don't know where to just jump in with you. So you're a New Englander, correct? That's
yes,
where you're
sir.
From originally? Yep. From Boston?
Burlington, Massachusetts, a suburb outside of Boston.
Okay. So back in the day, that would make you a Red Sox fan? Is that what you are
Red
from back
Sox,
in the day?
Bobby Orr, Bruins, Day.
Uh-huh.
You know, like all of that. Kyle Yastrzemski, Tony Canigliaro.
That's it.
60s, early 70s.
Early 70s. Jim Rice era of the Boston Red Sox.
Yeah.
What was your first time you were in Fenway Park, Stephen? What was that?
I don't know. My father took us probably, I was probably 12-ish. You know, it was so laid back then. He would come home from work.
Uh-huh.
It wasn't even a plan. It was like, oh, let's go to the game. You know, we'd get in the Volkswagen. Drive 45 minutes in. I mean, I sound like one of those guys, but it was like you sit in the bleachers for like $2.
Yeah.
There's no one was, you know, you have no, all the space. It was before they became, you know, even before 67.
Sure. When did you try stand-up for the first time? When did you realize, okay, were you always funny, or your understatedness was just your personality all the time?
Well, this is just how I talk like this, but I was funny with my couple buddies mm-hmm. in school.
Yes.
I wouldn't want the classes to make the class laugh.
Yeah.
But I was just funny with them, and I would watch The Tonight Show all the time with Johnny Carson.
Mm-hmm.
My brother was 4 years older than me, so we had to watch what he wanted.
Mm-hmm.
I would just watch him. And eventually, everyone would be asleep, and we'd be watching Johnny. And then I suddenly hooked in, like, see a guy come out and mm-hmm. talk about life and all this weird angles, funny reflection of what he experienced. And I started to hook into that. And then Johnny himself, I loved it. And it became like this magical thing. That's when I was really drawn to it.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, wow, maybe I would like to do that, maybe, to be one of those guys. And then speaking of the Bruins, so I would listen to the Bruins on the radio
mm-hmm.
in bed. And one night I was fooling around with a dial, and I stumbled on this comedy show, a guy in Boston. He played two comedy albums every Sunday night.
Yeah.
Two whole albums. So then I hooked into that. So I'm tuning into that for like 2 years, and I'm like studying it without knowing it.
Yeah.
I'm thinking, oh, I like that guy. Oh, that's it. Oh, I don't know. So then the Tonight Show and Carlin, and then it became like my dream, like a kid wants to be a baseball player or an astronaut.
And you wanted to be a comic.
Yeah.
So when was your first big break, Stephen Wright? When was that?
Well, I started doing it when I was 23 in Boston and in the clubs. And in Cambridge, there was a Chinese restaurant comedy club called the Ding Ho Comedy Club. It's just this, you know, the front was like with an audience and everything, the bar, and then the back was a Chinese restaurant. And someone wrote an article about it because it was such a bizarre situation.
Yeah.
And for some reason, it went in the LA Times. I don't know why. And then Peter LaSalle, who was the producer of The Tonight Show.
Sure.
He saw the article. And then like 8 months later, he was going to Boston. His kids were going to get out of high school. So they had a summer trip to look at colleges in New York and Boston. And they remembered the club. So he called up and he said he was going to go there, and he went there, and then he saw me, and then 3 weeks later I was on The Tonight Show.
On The Tonight Show.
So it was like a fairy tale.
So you know? If you didn't do your comedy in a Chinese restaurant, do you think you'd have been discovered, Stephen? I mean, obviously, or maybe not as quickly by...
Not as quickly.
What the hell is that like for you to be on The Tonight Show three weeks after being in a Chinese restaurant? I mean, what I just say, was that...
Put it that way.
I don't know if that's false.
It's true. It's just the way you assembled it 3 weeks after. You could have said that to Neil Armstrong. Well, you're on the Chinese restaurant, then you're on the moon. Like, how do you know? Like,
it was from column A, one from column Johnny. I mean, my gosh, from back in the day.
Column Johnny.
Yeah.
It was surreal because they just explained how big that show was to me for all those years.
Sure.
So then to be on there, it was just magical. And I've remained friends with Peter all these years. You know, I mean, a lot of my career has been a lot of flukes, a lot of accidents. But I mean, I know that I do what I do, but there's other things involved for something to happen somewhere. You know, like the Chinese restaurant, the person writes the article. Why is it in the LA Times? The places in Cambridge, Massachusetts, the kids going to college, going summer trip.
So... When you start taking off, HBO reaches out to you and you You were one of the first to have a comedy special on Home Box Office, Stephen.
When Carlin had them, Steve Martin. And right. Yeah, so when I went on The Tonight Show, then everything changed. Touring, live, clubs, and then HBO, and then an album, and then playing theaters. And it was all because of Peter LaSalle and Johnny Carson.
So you got a good Carlin story, Stephen?
Well, I met him several times, which was like, oh, my God, I'm talking to George Carlin.
Right.
He was a very regular guy. He was just a regular guy, but genius. He's a genius. A lot of people from my generation of comedians have him on the Mount Rushmore.
For sure.
You know, I mean, the amount. I think he did 18 HBOs.
Mm-hmm.
So even the volume and how the quality... Mm-hmm. He's one of my heroes in my whole life.
So who else is on your Mount Rushmore of comedians?
Richard Pryor.
Mm-hmm.
David Brenner, Robert Klein. Those guys, from when I was saying, when sure. watching all that time.
Right, starting out. Right. Tell me about your book, Harold. Why write it? What made you want to sit down and come up with your first book and a novel? What made you do this, Stephen?
Well, I wrote a fairy tale about how the beach was invented. It was in Rolling Stone magazine along 1986, and every few years I would read it again. And then I thought, I should write something else.
Mm-hmm.
So then I was on Twitter, and I started writing. I thought, I'll write a story, but I'll write it on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
I'll write two sentences at a time
mm-hmm.
rather than jokes. So I kept writing it, and people were leaving messages saying, doesn't he know this is for jokes? Because he's writing a novel on Twitter. What is, someone should explain this to him. But I didn't like the idea of the jokes on Twitter.
Sure.
To me, the joke is a live experience.
Where they're feedback from the audience.
Yeah, it's a whole thing. So then I stopped writing it on Twitter, but I continued writing it anyway. Just kept going, like, just not knowing where it's going or anything. You know, the jokes are very distinct, couple sentences through a small window
right.
to make the audience laugh. A concept, you know, and then the audience laughs. But I had other things in my mind that wouldn't go through that window.
Mm-hmm.
So I used this boy, his name is Harold. I essentially like put a funnel on the top of his head, and I poured everything I think about life
mm-hmm.
into his head. So it's like he's thinking it. No 7-year-old would really be thinking what he's thinking.
Yeah.
But I got to express basically my experience of and my reaction to this whole thing of having a life. There's so much information, you mm-hmm. know. So I got to say a lot of it through his mind.
In a book where all books can be acquired on May 16th is when it comes out. Harold, written by Stephen Wright. What is, I guess, this may be a ridiculous question, but I'll ask it anyway. What's your favorite joke that you came up with? Did you got one? Out of your vast career? One when you're
I
like,
I do have a favorite joke, but it's not the audience's favorite joke.
Okay.
It's, I went to my grandfather when he died. I went to the funeral and I was kneeling down at the casket, looking at him inside the casket.
Mm-hmm.
And I started to think about my flashlight. And I was thinking about the batteries inside my flashlight. And then I thought, maybe he's not dead. Maybe he's just in the wrong way.
Like in the casket the wrong
yeah,
way?
Yeah, you know how battery... Yeah, maybe if he was the other way, he'd be alive.
He's gone over there. I mean, you said it may not be the audience's favorite joke, but it's Chris is gone.
That happens. You put it and it doesn't work.
Well, the joke is based on years. You take batteries out that are dead and you put them on the table. Then you take the new ones out of the pack and you put them on the table.
Yeah.
Then you go in and do something else for something. And you come back. You can't tell a dead battery from a live battery just from looking at it.
So this is what you're saying, thinking at your grandfather's funeral, that if you had removed him from the casket and just flipped him over, he'd be alive?
Yeah, like the batteries. Like the batteries. Now, as I'm saying this to you guys... As I'm saying this to you, I don't know how or why my mind assembled, not connected it. I don't know that part.
Out of that moment.
But my subconscious is like an insane factory that somehow, oh, this could be this.
So I guess I'm mandated to follow up. So is good. In this equation, is your grandfather AAA, AA, C, D?
I mean, no one's ever asked. That's hilarious. Oh my God! I would say he's
nine
triple-
volt. Is your grand? Is grandpa nine volt? I mean,
oh, that's so funny! It's so funny. I never even thought of that. That's great.
Well, there you go. I'm just trying to leave you in a better spot than I found you. Wow! Did you tell that to somebody on the spot, like at the funeral, or
that wasn't real.
Oh, it's not real.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay.
Literally.
You asked me what was my favorite joke. Okay. And I said, okay, so I'm at my father's funeral. Oh, you guys thought that was real.
Yeah, maybe it really happened.
It was real.
Yeah. Did you? At that moment, you were like, I got to think of a joke right now.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, that's unbelievable to think that really happened. That's a whole other perception. This is a great experience. No one's ever thought it really happened. Yeah. And no one said, is he a AAA?
Well, it's a first for everything. First for everything. You have a question over there, TJ?
No questions. It's just like, this is really surreal for me, Steven, because, you know, I think I discovered you way back when I was in elementary school and trying to, you know, listen to Eddie Murphy and Pryor and Carlin. But and you can just talk to me through your monitor there. But, of course, they curse so much that I would get yelled at. But my mom, I could get away with listening to you because you were clean. But what I would do is I would write your jokes down in a book. And I would go to, like, fifth, sixth grade, and I would do stand-up based on jokes that you told. So this is really surreal to me, man, to see you. And just, like, your style, like you were just describing. When did you decide that that was the way that you were going to tell your jokes?
Yeah, because I imagine people would be like, you're not energetic enough, you're really low energy or anything like that.
And by the way, I still have four that I tell to this day almost.
You do?
Can I say them? Growing up, my parents had a quicksand box in the backyard. I was an only child, eventually. I spilled spot remover on my dog, and now he's gone.
That's a good one.
There was one about a dude, your friend Dennis. He had, I want to be PC here, he had smaller parents, but he wasn't small. He was a dwarf, and he would pose for trophies.
Yeah, he was the guy that, wow, that's amazing.
Like, so I would tell these in elementary school. Wow. That's how much, so like I said, this is a trip for me right now, because I literally had a notebook, and I would write these down, because I couldn't tell Eddie Murphy jokes at school, because, you know, I got sent to the principal's office.
Fantastic. It's surreal for me to hear you say that, because when you're performing, writing, and everything, you're not thinking about a little kid in elementary school. Like, just so for you to tell me all that, it's a whole other, it's a very touching story from my point of view.
Well, that's wonderful. I'm glad that you told it then, TJ. And I never thought it would be touching, that story to be told, when it involves apparently somebody who is a model for a small little trophy. Yes. Stephen, like, you look at a small trophy and say, that must be like two size, an actual model.
Yeah. Oh, man.
He say it the way you said it. He's not a midget. He's a midget dwarf.
And
he poses for trophies.
Yeah, he was this big. He was the guy who posed for trophies. I'm really flattered. That's great that you love it like that.
Yeah,
but
man.
If you ask me how my style, I mean, I just wrote jokes. I went to the comedy club to an open mic, and then I thought, I'm going to come back in 2 weeks. So I wrote things in that 2 weeks, and for some reason, they came out like little jokes.
Yeah.
And then I just said them, you know, and this is how I talk. So accidentally, that type of joke with how I speak merged, and it was just an ad. There was no like, oh, there was no plan, like, I'll do it like this and then I'll do this. And it was in Boston. There was no show business in Boston. So there was nobody to say, you gotta talk louder and you gotta sell stories. We were all left on our own, and we just, very distinct comedians. And Dennis Leary and Bobcat Goldthwait and Paula Poundstone and Kevin Meaney and Steve Sweeney and Lenny Clark. And
well, now you got Bill Burr, who is as New England as they come.
Yes, yes.
I mean, I love Bill.
He's brilliant, that guy.
For sure.
Steven, how'd you get involved with Half Baked, where you famously played the guy on the couch?
There was a talk show on at midnight to 1 in the morning. I think Bob Costas was the host. Mm-hmm. And then one time, Dave Chappelle was the guest host, and I was his guest. So when the show was over, I said, yeah, we should be in a movie together. And he said, oh, I'm making a movie right now. Do you want to be in it? And I said, yeah, all right. And that's how it happened.
Very simple.
All because Bob Costas went on vacation. I was later. I didn't. You're the voice of the DJ in Reservoir Dogs, right?
Yeah.
What did Tarantino just reach out to you?
No. What happened was there's all these flukes. I made a short film called The Appointments of Dennis Jennings, directed by Dean Pariseau, and Sally Menke. She edited the movie, and then a few years later, she was editing Reservoir Dogs, and she was talking to him. They had the concept of the guy on the radio, but they didn't have the voice, and she just said, how about Steven Wright? Because I was friends with her for a few years, and he said, oh, yeah, I like that. See how all these accidents.
And it all works out. And I'm so thrilled that you were out here in Los Angeles on your book tour. Again, everybody, check out Harold. Get it. You can pre-order it right now. And the books come out. Harold comes out on May 16th. Pleasure. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely.
Thank you. Thank you.
You
guys.
Bet it.
Thank
absolutely. You. I'm glad that TJ got to meet somebody whose work he was ripping off as a child.
I definitely stole all your jokes and I thank you for it.
And I'm thrilled that I was able to add on to one
that
of your favorite
tremendous.
Jokes.
That's tremendous.
I mean, there's different types of batteries that grandpa could be or your father could be.
Thank you for having me. Thank you very much.
Absolutely. Everybody, check out Harold May 16th and get it right now. You can pre-order it. Stephen Wright right here on The Rich Eisen Show. Let's talk Sleep Number, people, because quality sleep is so essential. That's why the Sleep Number smart bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs, and the same thing for your partner, so you can choose what's right for each of you whenever you like. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side, helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature, quiets your snores or your partner's? Sleep Number does that. My Sleep Number setting is 60. My wife's is 70. 10 numbers apart, but it truly is the world of difference. The Sleep Number sleep that you get is unbelievable. You will love it. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now you could save 50%. That's 50%. On the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Afford Anything talks about how to avoid common pitfalls, how to refine your mental models, and how to think about how to think.
Paula, while certainly you can mess up on $1 million a year, it is far less likely than it is on $30,000 a year.
Right.
I would meet wonderful people that were struggling with a budget that was super tight. It was 100%. You need to make more money.
Make smarter choices and build a better life.
Afford Anything, wherever you listen.
Back here, we are here on the Rich Eisen Show studio. No Bull is a training brand for people who work hard and don't believe in excuses. No Bull's performance footwear, apparel, and accessories are worn by some of the fittest athletes on earth, and they're now the official combine training partner of the NFL and the official on-field supplier of apparel and headwear for the NFL Scouting Combine. Head to NoBullProject.com/NFL to see how No Bull forever changed the NFL Combine, and you can shop for football training essentials and more great gear for your day-to-day workouts. And No Bull sponsoring a segment that we debuted today with John Beck, the throwing coach, from the combine to the draft. I'm going to profile a few players' journeys from the physical and mental tests of the combine all the way to hearing their name in that thrilling moment for them when the picks get announced in Kansas City during the draft in a couple of Thursdays from now. So check us out every single day on The Rich Eisen Show or our Twitter feed or youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show at Rich Eisen Show on Twitter for all the videos that we're going to be creating from the combine to the draft, sponsored by Noble. So Yankees and Guardians playing right now. Bottom one, runners on second and third, one out for the Guardians. Pop fly, center field. Aaron Hicks comes in, makes a dive and grab, throws to second, double play. Everybody runs off the field. And then during the inning changeover, the umpires get together, and the replay that is shown shows Hicks did not catch the ball. That's a fact. Hicks did not catch the ball, but the way that he grabbed it, his body when he came, you know, went ass over tea kettle, kind of hit it from the second base umpire, Larry Vanover, who's the crew chief. And what it appears to be, and the initial thought, was that the umpires reviewed it without the Guardians requesting it because they saw the replay. And as of right now, we're going to find out after the game, it does look like the Guardians did challenge it, but you only get 15 seconds to challenge. But because it was the end of the inning, I guess they didn't start the clock or they didn't know if it was 15 seconds or because they allowed the challenge to take place. And after further review, everybody come back out. Not only is the inning not over, two runs are in. And Aaron Boone gets thrown out on the spot. Instant ejection.
Yeah.
And the Guardians wind up taking a 3-0 lead. And the game's now currently 3-2.
3-2, yeah.
Still. And if the... I'm assuming the Yankees are going to protest this thing because either the umpires... The initial thought was the umpires used the in-stadium replay to reverse their call. They eventually got the call right. The question is how did they get there?
Right.
You get 15 seconds to challenge, and the pitch clock, it's tough on the video crews to turn it around and take a look at it. Hicks did not catch the ball. That is not in dispute.
And we don't know. There's no baseball sky judge, right?
No way. No. You have to, you see the manager turn around to somebody who immediately gets on the phone. And the guy who's on the phone is talking to a video replay person who either says challenge it or not.
Yep. Right.
And then the challenge to keep playing on is, you know, they give this twirl of finger, keep playing, or put the headphones on, let's challenge this thing. And you could see there's a shot of Francona. He doesn't make a move. The 15 seconds goes by, and he doesn't say a word. And suddenly this thing gets challenged and overturned. And instead of, I think they would have allowed one run to score because there was a tag-up situation. And somebody scored. Steven Kwan was on third. He's pretty fast. I think he might have scored before the third out was recorded. I don't know. They might have looked at the replay to see if that was the case. Did the guys score before the third out was recorded? And in so doing, they saw that the ball wasn't caught. And so once replay is opened up, you get to review everything. Maybe we'll find that out. But the Guardians didn't challenge in time, and Boone gets ejected.
That's a shame.
Okay. But I'm not allowed to say anything spiteful about my sports spitees. Right? I turn to you now, TJ, since you're the reasonable one here.
Well, you should be above that, Rich. You should be above it. You know. You're multiple-time Emmy-nominated.
It's okay. It's all right. Even if the Yankees lose this game, they're still two games above 500, and we're not six out already before tax day like his team, who can't do a damn thing against the Tampa Bay Rays. Try and win a game against the team that hasn't lost yet.
Well, technically, no one can do anything against
the Rays. On behalf of the rest of the American League East, be great if your team won a game.
We're trying. Great. We were also predicted to be last in the division. So
he's got the Bruins going.
There's zero expectations.
He hasn't mentioned a word about the Bruins that I've heard all year long.
I've been to a game. Have you?
I have not. No, you brought your beautiful boy here to Los Angeles.
Don't you guys have the Bruins parlay?
When the Bruins came to Los Angeles?
No, I have a big Bruins futures bet that I'm not going to talk about.
Oh, it's like Fight Club.
It's
like Fight Club. All I know is if you come in with a new set of wheels, we'll understand.
Or if he doesn't come in, we'll understand.
All right. We'll find out after the game. I think we'll find out that we were just replayed to see if the run scored, and then we saw the ball was loose, and we had to change that. So play on. And Boone, I mean, literally got his money. I think he came out four times.
That is pretty ridiculous, I mean, I will say.
Thank you for that.
You're right.
I appreciate that. Strange bedfellows. Thanks to Stephen A. Smith and Stephen Wright and John Beck, who is in studio all hour two talking NFL draft. We will chat on Thursday.